Welcome to Review Set Scare with Jess and Blair. I'm Jess.
I'm Blair.
Blair, how are you?
I am doing quite well, man. How are you doing?
I am doing very well. We're coming off of our second live watch party, and it was a ton of fun.
It was a good time. There was some technical difficulties at the beginning. Nothing major. It was a blast. It was a good time.
Yeah. You know what? Once we got past the technical difficulties, I think everyone had a really good time.
Yeah.
So a big shout out to everyone who joined us for that one. We had more viewers than we did the first time around.
And we're hoping
that it's just going to grow. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah. 100%.
We're going to keep doing the watch parties at least once a month.
Learn to speak.
So, I know. So keep tuned for updates for next one.
Yeah, definitely.
Besides that, we're officially on to our third film in the month of February, a month we're calling Based on a True Story. And we have a fun one to talk about today. But before we do that, what do you say we chat a little bit about some horror news?
This is horror news.
Blairski, do you have some news from the world of horror?
Bro, I've only got one thing. This is the only news I have. Earlier this week, I went and saw a matinee in theaters of a movie called Out of Darkness. It's one I had never heard of until seeing that it was playing in the theater the day I went. And I was pleasantly surprised. It's a film that takes place 45,000 years ago and is about settlers to a new discovered land being hunted and stalked by an unknown creature everywhere they go. It's kind of a slow burn. The entire movie is in subtitles as they're using a fake language to speak to each other.
Cool.
But I thought it was pretty well done and a very entertaining movie. I also witnessed a group of three walk out of theater during a pretty graphic cannibalism scene, which was quite funny to see.
Don't you love when that happens?
Oh, I love it, man. I'm pretty sure we saw people walk out of Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey when we were there as well.
Yeah, who'd have thunk, hey?
But Out of Darkness, definitely one to check out if you're a horror fan and looking for something a little new and refreshing.
Yeah, you told me about it. You told me to watch the trailer. I watched the trailer. And yeah, definitely unique. Definitely something at least from the trailer, I haven't seen before. Mm-hmm. So yeah, excited to check out this one. Maybe not in a matinee, but when it comes out on a streaming service. Also, matinee movies during the week, the unsung heroes.
I loved it, man. And I went on Cheap Tuesday as well. It was like a $5 movie ticket. Oh, it was great, man.
I love a weekday matinee. There's nothing better.
Yeah, for sure, man. But yeah, that's all I got for horror news, bro.
Perfect. I got a couple pieces here. Blairski, you'll like this.
Okay.
We're both fans of Trick or Treat Studios.
Yes, sir.
And what they do, they're masters at what they do. And it was just announced that they will be releasing, to coincide with the 20th anniversary of its release, an officially licensed co-op tabletop game entitled House of a Thousand Corpses, the game.
Really? Really?
Yep. It is currently being funded through Kickstarter, so make sure to check it out. It sounds like a lot of fun.
I mean, depending on the price, it's something I might probably have to buy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, House of a Thousand Corpses, we're big fans. We're big fans of Rob Zombie. So it's definitely going to be something to keep an eye out for.
That is my favorite Rob Zombie movie, is House of a Thousand Corpses.
Agreed. Agreed. Yeah. 100% agreed. Yeah, it's a fun one. Second piece of horror news, the iconic 1960s sitcom Bewitched.
Okay.
Is set to return to the small screen as Sony Pictures Television is working on a new reboot of the much-loved series. No timeline for this one, but that's something cool to look forward to. We're seeing so many movie remakes and reboots that it's kind of nice to see a television reboot of, obviously, a hugely successful television show from the 60s.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome, actually.
Yeah. And then finally, the release of Megan 2.0, the sequel to the Blumhouse smash hit about a rug-cutting doll, Megan, has been delayed.
Oh, I thought you were going to have different news for it.
No, which is pretty wild because it was originally set for release on January 17th, 2025.
Okay. Yeah.
It will now be released May 16th, 2025. So it's kind of a decently sized delay.
Yeah. No kidding. Okay. I wonder the cause behind it.
Yeah. Nothing listed. I can only assume again. It's over to my knowledge, but the writers and the actors strikes, I'm kind of just chalking up most delays right now
to that,
for productions just slowly getting back into the swing of things after the writers and the actors strikes. That's my guess.
Fair
Who
enough.
Knows?
Yeah.
That's all I have for horror news. What do you say we jump into this week's episode? Like we had mentioned, the third episode in the month of February goes to 2018's The Strangers Pray at Night. Runtime on this one, 1 hour, 25 minutes. Blairski, initial thoughts on the runtime?
Doesn't get much better, man.
Pretty good, right in the pocket.
Yep, yep.
Not bad at all. This leads us to fun facts.
Fun facts. Facts that are fun.
Blairski, do you have some fun facts on The Strangers Pray at Night?
I do indeed, sir. Development for this movie started in 2008, shortly after the release of the first Strangers movie, but after a very troubled development period, clearly. Filming actually didn't even start until 2017, almost 10 years later.
In limbo for 10 years, and it still got made.
Yeah, wild, hey? Normally after that amount of time, it's getting canceled.
Yeah, exactly. Pretty unbelievable.
Also, made with a $5 million budget, this film made over $32 million worldwide and was met with mixed reviews of people comparing it to the original film, with some calling it better and more entertaining, and some calling it a step backward and an inferior film to the original. So you kind of get people on both sides. I'll talk about it later, but I'm kind of with the side the original is a better movie.
You always are going to experience that, especially with a sequel. I mean, it's hard to like a sequel more than the original unless it's like really a standout sequel. So I get that there's a bit of division.
It's very rare, man. Very rare when the sequel is better than the original movie.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Godfather 2.
Godfather 2, yeah, right. That's the only one you can really think of, right? Oh, Terminator 2.
Aliens?
Debatable.
Debatable. It's all debatable, folks. It's all debatable. What else you got for fun facts?
I only got one more. The final fun fact I have is the Strangers series is getting a complete reboot into a three-part trilogy with the first movie simply titled The Strangers Chapter 1. Being released May 17th this year.
Wow. Okay.
So trilogy. Coming up quick.
Is it going to be produced by Blumhouse?
No, I don't believe it is.
Shocker, because it seems like every horror movie is being produced by Blumhouse.
I know, right? So the fact that this is not being, it's a trilogy not being produced by Blumhouse gives me hope.
Yeah, here we go. I've got a couple pieces here. The man in the mask is the only killer in the movie with no dialogue.
He is. That's right.
Which instantly makes him the creepiest of the killers. And then finally, there are a lot of references to other horror movies in this film. Tons. Of course, including 1997's Funny Games, the Why Not line, 1974's Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the jumping into the back of the pickup truck, which we both noticed immediately.
Yeah.
And then 1996's Scream, of course, the waving of the car keys. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in lots of references. This movie was obviously inspired by quite a few other flicks. Let's talk about the fine folks that made this movie, shall we?
Let's do it.
This one directed by Johannes Roberts. I'm sorry if I pronounced that wrong. Also directed 2019's 47 Meters Down Uncaged, 2021's Resident Evil Welcome to Raccoon City, and directed a segment in the newest addition to the VHS franchise, 2022's VHS 1999.
Okay. I wonder what segment.
I didn't write down what segment.
It's all right. Have you seen that movie?
I watched the first segment.
Okay. It's probably the one he did.
That was the one there. They're on the speedboat.
Oh, yes. The speedboat. Yeah. That was actually a pretty good one.
Not bad. We love the VHS franchise.
Yeah.
This one written by Brian Bertino, also wrote 2008's The Strangers, 2020's The Dark and the Wicked, and 2021's The Strangers, Pray at Night, Recreation. And then finally written by Ben Cate, also wrote 2007's miniseries 30 Days of Night, Dust to Dust, and 18 episodes of the 2016 television series Chosen. This one starring, it's kind of a decently sized cast, so we're going to kind of go through it quickly here. First off, Christina Hendricks as Cindy, also starred in 2011's Drive, 92 episodes of AMC's classic Mad Men, where she played Joan, 50 episodes of the TV show Good Girls, where she played Beth, and as a Bond girl in a 1997 Visa Tomorrow Never Dies television commercial, also starring Pierce Brosnan.
Right on.
Pretty neat. Yeah. Pretty neat. Also starring Martin Henderson as Mike. He also starred in 2006's Smoke and Aces, 2002's The Ring, and as Wayne in 2022's X.
He did indeed.
Some pretty big horror movies there.
Yeah, man, for sure.
Also starring Bailey Madison as Kinsey, also starred in 2007's Bridge to Terabithia, 11 episodes of the television show The Fosters, and 57 episodes of Good Witch. That's a lot of episodes.
Yeah, it is.
Also starring Lewis Pullman as Luke, starred in 2018's Bad Times at the El Royale, 2022's Top Gun Maverick, and will be starring in the new Salem's Lot movie.
Okay, right on.
And then finally, wrapping up the cast, I'm going to put them all together. Damien Maffey as the man in the mask, Emma Bellamy as Dollface, and Leah Enslin as Pinup, the three strangers.
Yeah.
Well done, you three. Synopsis, courtesy of our dear friends at IMDb. A family of four staying at a secluded mobile home park for the night are stalked and then hunted by three psychopaths. Yep.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And it's I like it. It's a good synopsis, man.
Yeah, honestly, it's straight and to the point, which in general is what this movie is. Blairski. Yes, this sir. Leads to one of our favorite segments, Kill Count.
Kill Count. The time of the show we count the kills.
Do we have a kill count for this one?
We do indeed, brother. We have a total kill count in this movie of 8, which is quite a high number, considering I think there's maybe only 10 or 11 characters actually in the entire movie.
Yeah, that is the ratio is quite high.
Quite the ratio.
This leads us to one of our favorite segments, likes and dislikes.
Likes, dislikes, likes, dislikes,
and everything in between. The portion of the show where we chat about what we liked, what we didn't like, and everything in between. Blairski, where do you want to start? Do you want to start with kills on this one?
No, I'm actually going to start with stuff I didn't like.
Okay, excellent.
I found the movie to be a bit of a slow burn, especially the first half. The first half of the movie, it just takes a long time to kind of get into it, I found.
Yeah, I agree, especially the intro.
Yeah.
We love intros. We talk about intros nonstop here. I just felt like the intro, the first half of the movie, was lengthy and unnecessary.
Yeah, it was.
We get it. The teenage kids dislike their parents.
Yeah.
It was just all about building up these angsty characters who I did not care about.
No, me neither, man. Me neither at all. That goes to my next thing I didn't really like. I'm just going to read it exactly how I wrote it here.
Yeah.
Acting, dialogue, and the script, I felt all started off slow and very subpar. But all of that, as well as the movie as a whole, kind of got better and better as the movie went. So it kind of redeems itself to a point, because it does get better. But I don't know. It was kind of subpar to me, man.
It's kind of like this whole lead up to the grand finale. And I think you and I can agree that the final scene is the most fantastic part of the whole movie.
100%.
But it does feel like just a lead up to that point in the movie. And there's a lot of unnecessary things. I felt like the relationship between the characters was not overly believable.
Not at all.
I didn't think the chemistry was great, especially between the brother and sister. I felt like a lot of the deaths happened way too soon.
Yeah, they did.
Before we really got to know the characters.
Yeah.
And I felt like, all in all, the idea of the movie was fine.
Mm-hmm.
It was very straightforward. Obviously, as we said in synopsis, a family terrorized by a group of mass strangers. But I spent most of the movie waiting to find out why this family in particular was being terrorized. And I was waiting for the big reveal at the end. And I felt a little robbed. I felt like it was a bit of a cop-out.
Well, I could see how you'd think that, but you also have not seen the original movie.
Right.
These killers have no motive. They're doing this for fun. They're doing it for thrill. They're doing it because they can, and they're doing it because they want to. They do it in this movie and the first movie as well, and they say it.
They say it in one line, but I think most of it is we have to kind of figure that out for itself. And I just kind of think it's and who knows? I mean, there's people who that is their motivation.
Yeah.
Their motivation is why not?
Yeah. Yeah.
They want to see the world burn, right? Yeah.
Like the Joker.
And I just felt like it was, I felt a little bit cheated out of it. I don't know.
I also didn't really understand why such a massive trailer park was completely abandoned.
Nobody else was there.
Nobody else staying there. No one driving through, no passerbys or anything. You get a mother and a son that do drive through right at the very end of the movie. How convenient. But I just didn't really get why the place is abandoned, but whatever, that's neither here nor there. But
there was just so many questions that were left unanswered. Yeah. I also did not understand why it was so empty there, why they still felt so comfortable being there when it was so empty, why they weren't immediately going over to the people who invited them over there to their trailer. Why they weren't concerned when they weren't where they were supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
There was just so many questions that were left unanswered. It left us maybe a bit frustrated throughout the movie.
I was just about to say, especially the first half, as I said, it was a very frustrating kind of first half of the movie.
Yeah. So we love the idea of the final girl.
Yes.
What did you think of the character Kinsey as the final girl in this one?
So starting off the movie again, I didn't really like her. I didn't really care about her character at all. As the movie went, I found myself rooting for her more and more.
Yeah.
She turned out, especially after that kind of Texas Chainsaw Massacre shout-out scene, she turned out to be quite the final girl, actually.
Absolutely. And I think, everything, I keep coming back to the scene with the pickup truck.
Yeah.
Starting with it crashing into the vehicle she's in, and then the explosion, and then I would say the final showdown. Those whole scenes were great. And I would say that's probably 20 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
And I think it's probably the strongest 20 minutes of the whole movie. And I think that is where that character of Kinsey really shines. She's kind of leading those scenes, and the man in the mask is following her lead.
And she's wearing a pretty awesome t-shirt the entire movie.
I mean, anytime it is just like that is the uniform of an angsty teen. I had the exact same t-shirt in grade 7. I clearly remember wearing it. And it was a Ramones t-shirt. with a plaid or flannel button up over top. And that was, that was my uniform as an angsty teen.
Yeah, right on, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I do not hate that t-shirt.
Hey, now that we've talked about kind of the bad, I do want to talk about the kills, because the kills in this movie were pretty freaking awesome, man. There were some brutal kills, man. From the first one where the mom gets slain in front of her daughter to the that pool scene, which we'll talk about in a bit. All the kills in this movie were really good.
Yeah, they're not overly extravagant. They are brutal and to the point. They are, it's a job to the strangers. This is, that's their job, is to kill these people and put them through pain. So it's nothing extravagant. There's no extravagant traps set or anything like that. It is straight to the point and brutal.
It's mostly knives, an axe, I think's used, a gun. I don't think actually a gun is used. Yeah. But it's basic weapons and the straight killing.
Yeah. There's
tearing and shredding.
There's a golf club. Can we just talk about how creepy an axe being dragged against the ground is?
I love that scene. So
yeah,
that's another thing I got to say. There are some freaking awesome shots in this movie, especially near the end, but that is one of them. And it's just, it's a shot basically right from the ground. And you just see the axe drop to the ground and start dragging across the concrete. It reminded me of something off of like Resident Evil or something like that. You know, I really like that.
It's very menacing. I love the shots as well. You had mentioned towards the end, I actually, once they got to the trailer park, there was some really great shots right off the bat. I just love the use of lighting and shadows in this movie, especially in the earlier parts.
Yeah.
Basically, any time there's a scene with the three masked strangers just lingering in the shadows, you can never really see their face. So there's even a part where one of the strangers keeps coming to the front door of the trailer and they're not wearing their mask, but you can also, you can't see their face because they're so covered in shadows. And it's
just a shadow.
And it just adds to the suspense. It's so creepy.
Yeah, yeah. Also, on top of the awesome scenes that were in this movie and the lighting, the soundtrack.
Yeah.
The soundtrack in this movie is top notch. It's so upbeat and uplifting, especially considering what you're actually watching on screen. Like, it doesn't, it shouldn't go hand in hand, but it worked. It worked for this movie.
It's the same kind of feeling that you get in like Reservoir Dogs, where it's the Stuck in the Middle with You and the ear cutting song. It just, it's so unsettling that they have kind of this happy, kind of more upbeat song. And it's like, what is happening here? I wrote down every song is just a go-to karaoke hit.
100% it is.
Yeah. It's songs like Kids in America and Total Eclipse of the Heart and both bangers. Yeah. Great soundtrack. I absolutely agree with you.
I did too. It's going to be a front runner for best soundtrack when we do our award show at the end of the year, for sure.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Oh, goodness. Anything else you really liked about this one?
We talked about it a little bit, but I wrote here, I love the nod to Texas Chainsaw. All the nods to just horror movies in general, but that in particular, I really liked it. She had her in the back of the truck screaming her head off while the killer's chasing after her.
Yeah.
So much like Texas Chainsaw. It was great.
Nice little homage for sure.
Great homage, man. And to me, it was the one that stuck out the most out of all of them in the movie. And I really, really got to say again, that scene with, is it Kinsey or Kinsley with an L?
I have written down here Kinsey.
And I written down Kinsley. But
I pulled it off of IMDb, but IMDb has been known to misspell character names. So,
but they're Kinsey, friends.
Kinsley, they good pals.
good friends at IMDb. The scene where she is, trying to run, she's pretty injured at this point, away from the man in the mask. He's driving the truck that's on fire.
Yeah.
And they're going over the bridge. That scene, the way it was shot, was absolutely amazing to me.
So cool.
Yeah, it was so cool.
Yeah, I loved it. There was just so many great shots in this one that you just had to kind of sit back and admire the shot.
Yeah.
And it certainly didn't take you out of it, but it just totally added to this movie. It was just a really well shot movie.
Yeah, it was. It was really the cinematography, I guess you would call it, was amazing in this movie.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. What do you say we move on to our next segment?
Let's do it.
Which is lessons we learned from watching 2018's The Strangers Pray at Night.
Lessons we learned from watching. Insert title of movie here.
The portion of the show where we discuss valuable life lessons we learned from watching said movie. Blairski, did you learn anything from watching 2018's The Strangers Pray at Night?
Got three things written down here. First off, sometimes the best motive for a killer in a movie is to have no motive at all.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Next one, if you've got the person who just brutally stabbed your mom to death held at gunpoint, just pull the fucking trigger.
Yeah, this is the movie that we watched during our watch party, and yeah. Every single person in the watch party was saying, just shoot.
Yeah, people are getting pissed off. What are you
waiting for? Yeah, it was very frustrating.
Very frustrating, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Final lesson I learned is no matter how brutal of a serial killer or how troubled you are as a teenage girl, you can always have a good taste in music.
That's right. Yeah. Agreed. I learned a couple things here. The measure of love is to love without measure. This was off of a sign that is in the store Cindy walks into towards the beginning of the movie. That was, the measure of love is to love without measure.
One more time, please.
Yeah. I also learned you're supposed to inhale cigarettes. Also, yeah. Don't smoke cigarettes.
Yeah.
Blair and Jess here at Reviews That Scare do not endorse smoking cigarettes.
No, we do not.
And then finally, if you're being chased by a vehicle, run in a zigzag formation.
Mm-hmm.
I also might be getting that confused with when you're being chased by an alligator, but I think it applies for a vehicle as well.
I'm pretty sure you don't want to run in a straight line in front of a vehicle either.
Unless you feel like you can outrun said vehicle.
I feel like when she first started running away from him, when he was in the vehicle, she was doing that. She was doing a good job darting off to the left or the right. But as the movie went, it seemed she forgot that.
Yeah.
And the last maybe 5 minutes of the chase, it was just all in a straight line.
Yeah, absolutely. This leads to one of our favorite segments, Line of the Night.
Line of the Night. Line of the Night. Line of the Night. Line of the Night. Line of the Night. Line of the Night. Line of the Night. Line of the Night. Line of the Night.
The segment of the show where we discuss our favorite lines from the movie. They might give us chills. They might give us the giggles. All we know is that they are our favorites. Blairski, I got one line of the night.
I got
and
two.
And I'm thinking one of them is probably the same as
I'm
the one I
so.
Got.
I'm thinking so.
What do you have for line of the night?
Because there wasn't that many good ones. This one we kind of already talked about a bit. The daughter, Kinsley, is battling it out with one of the killers known as Dollface and gets the upper hand with a shotgun blast to the chest. Then, as Kinsley takes off the killer's mask to reveal her face, which I thought was pretty cool, she asks the killer, "Why are you doing this?" To which the killer replies, "Why not?"
Yeah. Really cool scene. That was the one line of the night that I have. I was also a little bit annoyed that with the reveal of the stranger, it's like, great. I don't know who that is. So I think leaving the mask on would have been a cool choice too. That's the one line of the night that I have.
I got one more I'm going to say, but I'm going to tell you, this isn't going to spoil the original movie by any means for you, but I want to tell you what they say in that movie.
Okay.
The strangers are also asked at a point, Why are you doing this?
Yeah.
And their answer was different, but also very simple.
Was their answer, we're bored?
might as well could have been. It was because you were home.
Creepy.
Yeah, which is pretty creepy.
Yeah, it is pretty creepy.
Yeah.
How many doors did they knock on before they found the one?
Well, that's right. Where were they? Where were they before that? You know, you don't know. Yeah. Maybe that's what I'm almost wondering if the events of Pray at Night do take place directly after they leave the house of the first one or not. That I'm not sure because it doesn't answer that question, but back to Line of the Night.
Yeah. What else you got?
After the brother Luke kills Pinup Girl, he sees the guy in the mask approaching him with an axe. He gets up and yells, "I killed one of yours. How does that feel, huh? How does that fucking feel?" Which I felt was a pretty strong line. This guy literally just witnessed both his parents getting murdered by these two people or three people. And he got revenge. He got one back. So I thought that was a pretty good line.
Yeah, that one leads to a giant swimming pool brawl. Pretty cool.
Pretty cool.
Pretty cool. This leads us to our final segment of the show. Some might say our favorite.
Some might.
I think it's safe to say it's definitely up there.
I'd say it's my favorite.
It's celebrity lookalike time.
Celebrity lookalike time.
The time of the show where we take a look at the cast and discuss their celebrity.
Learn to talk, Jesse.
Celebrity doppelgangers. Spoiler alert, it usually comes down to the character's hairstyle. Blair Ski,
yes, sir.
Do you have any celebrity lookalikes?
Slowing down the speech.
Yes.
You're doing great, my brother. You're doing great.
Hey, thanks.
All right, so I do. I have three celebrity lookalikes. First one, the killer known only as the Pinup Girl, reminded me of Betty Boop. Of course, it's just all in the mask she was wearing, the hair in the mask, but definitely reminded me of Betty Boop.
Yep.
The brother, Luke, reminded me of Spider-Man himself, Tom Holland.
Okay.
And finally, this is just a little bit, it might be out there, but the dad, Mike, kind of reminded me of Justin Hartley. Now, I'm not sure if you all will know who Justin Hartley is, but he's in a whole bunch of TV shows, including This Is Us. He's the star of Tracker. He's in The Young and the Restless and Smallville. If you've seen The Strangers Pray at Night and don't know who he is, just Google Justin Hartley. And I think I'm pretty close to that. I think I'm pretty close.
The resemblance is striking.
I thought so anyway.
I've got a couple here. The first two, I think we've used before. The character Cindy, the mom, reminded me a lot of Bryce Dallas Howard.
Okay.
Who has starred in such films as The Village and Lady in the Water, and also the last few Jurassic Park movies.
She has, Rob
Howard's daughter. Yeah. I thought the character Mike reminded me of David Duchovny, star of The X-Files.
He does.
And then finally, I thought the man in the mask reminded me of Batman villain, especially in the Christopher Nolan Batman franchise, Scarecrow.
100%.
Same played mask. By Cillian Murphy. Yeah, it's just a burlap sack.
Yeah.
Which is also like the creepiest mask that you can have is a burlap sack.
Jason Voorhees mask in part two.
Yes, sir. This leads to our final rating. For 2018's The Strangers Pray at Night, Blair Ski, out of 5 Trailer Park Weekend Family Getaways, what do you give The Strangers Pray at Night?
Okay. I do like this movie. I just like the Strangers movies in general. I am going to say this, in my opinion, the original movie is better.
Okay.
But I am going to be giving Pray at Night 3 Trailer Park Weekend Family Getaways out of 5.
Nice. Good rating right in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to score it a little bit lower, 2.5 Trailer Park Weekend Family Getaways out of 5. I enjoyed this movie.
Yeah.
There was just so many parts of it where I was maybe being overly critical. But all in all, a fun movie, I think.
It's a fun movie in general. It was fun to watch with the watch party.
Agreed.
Which always helps a situation like that, but it's a good movie. It's definitely not one of the worst ones we've reviewed, so.
Definitely. I definitely think I enjoyed it more due to the watch party. So really excited for our next watch party. Me too, for sure. Man. But until then, This has been Reviews That Scare with Jess and Blair. I'm Jess.
I'm Blair. Remember to stay scary.
And eat every sandwich. Bye.
Bad voice crack. Bye, guys.
Thank you for listening to Reviews That Scare. Make sure you check out our Linktree at linktree.com/reviewsthatscare. That's linktr.ee/reviewsthatscare, which has links to our Instagram, YouTube, Patreon, Twitch, and many other things. If you'd like to email us, you can reach us at reviewsthatscare@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and remember to stay scary and eat every sandwich.
A proud member of Pod Nation TV.